Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. We are broadcasting live. We are here at the Toy Drive. Our flagship station out of Milwaukee does this every year, and they do a fantastic job, and we're honored just to be a part of it. It's 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan out of Milwaukee, and if you want to make a monetary donation to the Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, you can do so by simply going to 1057FMTheFan.com or stop by at Blaine's Farm and Fleet here on Rawson Avenue, just south of Milwaukee. And we're going to be here a little while longer, but from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, somebody is here. And whether it's buying a new unwrapped toy and bringing one, or buying one here, or dropping off a monetary donation, or if you would like, you can stop by and slip your credit card in the dip jar. You can do that. You can do it online. I mean, there are plenty of ways to be a part of this. And we've had so many people that have come by and just been great to us. So if you keep it coming, we certainly would appreciate it. Joining us here inside our Bear Sunroom Studios, live here on site, our buddy Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin. How you doing, man?
Great, buddy.
How are you enjoying the offseason?
Well, you know, the Bucks kind of keep you a little busy too. So, but it's been good. I mean, the whole run for the Bucks right now, followed by the Brewers the last 2 years, it's I could not have dreamed of a better 1-2 punch to have a year-round job in this TV business, and it's been great. It's great to be here, first of all, with you guys again this year. I don't know how many years we've been coming
this
out and
is,
doing
I
all
think,
this.
This is, I think, 10 for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've been doing this 13 years.
Yeah, it's been great, and it's great to see people just, you know, I've only been here a few minutes. I've already seen two cars drive up. One was a pickup and had a boatload of toys.
That's great.
And it's great to see. I love the owl out there, too, waving at everybody. That's like a mascot full-time job out there.
And, well, the owl is warm. I don't know if the owl is supposed to be the owl. The owl just found the suit that keeps
you
the warmest,
go.
I guess, in
there
the wind. We'll start with the Bucks. Bucks right now streaking, and I had said at the beginning of the season 62 wins. People thought I was a little bit nuts. They still have a legitimate shot at doing that, but they're doing it in many different facets right now. Granted, they're in a softer portion of the schedule, but they're doing it in many different facets. Big game coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. The Clippers coming in. They've got Detroit tomorrow on the road first before that, but of course everyone's looking at that Friday night game, and They want a full squad rematch, if you will. The Bucks already were out playing the Clippers, and you know, Kawhi comes to town now, and you know, the place is going to be absolutely hopping. I'll tell you, Pfizer Forum. We've had the last couple of weeks on Mondays. We've had full crowds. It's always sold out. But you remember going over to the Bradley Center on a Monday.
They'd announce a 16,000
in November, December. I mean, there was you know 6,000 or 7,000 people at best in there, and it's but the product is so much better, obviously. And Giannis is a must see. I was kind of kidding around with some fans that were around our stage set area yesterday at halftime. I said, you better get your halftime stuff and come back in the third quarter if you want to see him play again, because he'll be done midway through the third quarter with this blowout. He won't play the rest of the way.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if you're paying full price for tickets, you want to see that guy every minute for sure. And he's certainly done his best to carry this team right now.
What has made this team better this year?
Well, Giannis is better. I mean, I am not kidding. I remember when he came in 18 years old, and he was a rookie, and there was a little bit of hype on him back then. But when he started, you know, getting a little bit better and being productive and started to show who he was going to be, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, he's been saying, I can get better every year. And this year he's even better than he was a year ago. His leadership skills are better. What he's doing in the paint, in my opinion. His physicality and the pounding and the abuse, if you will, that he's taken and still scoring inside. And he's starting to hit his threes now, you know. Leave the free throws aside for now. That'll be the improvement probably as the season goes, or maybe in the coming years.
Because we know when he gets to the postseason, there's a roadmap that's been proven to at least beat him for right now.
There's no doubt about it. And certain teams are just going to play it that way, and that's okay. That's part of basketball. But I think he'll get better in that aspect. But to me, it still starts with him, the fact that he's better, and so the guys around him are only – going to be better too, because he sets the pace for him, and it's pretty remarkable to see the way that they have constructed this roster this year. I know coming in when they added his brother Thanasis, and then the Lopez Robin Lopez came in to join Brooke. I thought, what's going on here? Is this a good thing to have, you know, on a small roster of 15 guys, 17 guys? Is this good to have two sets of brothers here together? But it's actually been a pleasant surprise, in my opinion. They've really worked out. They've worked it out well together. They've made it more of a family, I think, of players this year together, and the bond that these guys have, I have not seen on this particular franchise in the 20 years that I've covered it.
What the beginning of the season, they started off 2-2, and there was, boy, it was not panic, but there was a lot of questions. You know, did you know what the Raptors did figure them out, and this is the way teams are going to play them? Is it going to be? And it just looked dysfunctional. It just didn't look right. And all of a sudden, after that Boston game, they've just taken off.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't now 14 out of 15 or something, 15 out of 16, something like that.
Well,
and they've been phenomenal. What at that point in time? What clicked?
Well, I think, you know, to be honest with you, you know, you had Kyle Korver to the mix and Wes Matthews to the mix, and that's beginning of the season. You have Robin Lopez added to the mix as well. And then you're operating without Malcolm Brogdon, you know, right out of the gates too. I think those things, getting those veteran players acclimated to their new team, adjusting without a playmaker like Malcolm Brogdon, I think that's been a period of adjustment that I think is still going on right now. I think Wes has found his groove now with this team. I don't think Kyle Korver has quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has in the locker room. He's 38 years old. He's an extension of Coach Bud for the players. But he's still out on the court playing, and I don't think his offensive productivity is where he wants it to be right now. So there are some things in the making there. But I think early on it was just having these guys simply start to click and understand one another in real-time play.
See, I love the fact that they kept a guy like George Hill around, a guy that is another extension, has been there, done that.
That's the other thing. They brought him in mid-season, and he was hurt for a little bit before he got healthy during that playoff run, and now he's with the team for the first time you know, since the beginning of the season, which is – it's a difference maker to not have to add guys – in midseason to make your team better. You know, people had asked me even when the season began, where do you see them making an adjustment at the trade deadline? And I'm like, barring a major injury to somebody,
they may not. Yeah. I want to ask as well, what is Coach Bud to this team? Because it seems like Phil Jackson used to get a ton of credit because he just had guys. He went out and won. He had Michael and then everybody else kind of following behind him. And Bud will never get as much credit because Giannis is the superstar that he is. But there is something to being the straw that stirs the drink and does it in the right direction. What does Coach Budenholzer do to this team?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, he's a father figure to some of these guys. He's a guy that I think they respect from the standpoint that he just understands that he doesn't have to overwork guys. He doesn't have to discipline in an old school way. Yesterday, this one was eye-opening. It was in the third quarter yesterday, game already well at hand, and he had called a play that Giannis was to run, and it wasn't getting run, and Coach Bud called a timeout in the middle of their offense. And basically in front of everybody, as Giannis walked back towards the bench, he went up to him, got in his face, pointed his finger at him, and he set the bar straight. Things aren't run the way you want them to run. They're the way I want them to run. I call the play, run a play. It was that type of an example. And you could tell Giannis was like, whoa. But he respected his coach, went to the bench, so did the players. They got things straightened out. I mean, this is like with a 30-point lead. It's things like that, I think, that if players can respect a coach for not pulling that all the time on them and pulling them at the right times. Guys, you have to understand something. We have a big lead right now. We still need to run our offense. We still need to do things to keep each other honest and in check. And I think that was a moment right there that I think was very visible for everybody to see if they were paying attention to the game at the time.
You also have to have a superstar, though, that understands and is humble enough to say, I will accept coaching.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of their roster does accept that. I think he's put guys on his team like Korver and Wes Matthews and George Hill, guys that he's familiar with, Ersan Ilyasova, guys that he's familiar with that understand that. And, you know, if they understand it, the rest of the guys have to understand it too. But you're right, it does start with the superstar. There's no question about that. And I don't think we're going to see too many more of those situations like that again like we saw last night.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're talking with Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin. When we come back, we're going to talk some Brewers baseball. I know we talked a little bit earlier with Adam McAlvey. We'll get Craig's take as to what is and isn't going on over there inside Miller Park. We are broadcasting live out here at the Toy Drive. We're out on Rawson Avenue, and it is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue, as a matter of fact, and that's where you can find us. Come on by and say hi. It's the annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin in Robin's Nest. It's brought to you by a lot of great people who help us out down here each and every year. That is Allstate Insurance, Brothers Consolidated Heating and Air Conditioning, Young Express, and Rocky Rococo Pizza and Pasta. We've got more coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, don't forget about our friends over at Cousin Subs. They want to remind you that the Euro is back. If you're going to stop over to Cousin Subs, you can pick it up in person. They even deliver in some areas now, but otherwise you can go to CousinSubs.com and see all that Cousin Subs has to offer. And Cousin Subs is the official sub provider for the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And go to CousinSubs.com, download the app on any mobile device you have, and that will make your life happy. We are broadcasting live down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek. It is the annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin in Robin's Nest. And thanks to everybody that has come out today, including our buddy Craig Kishon of Fox Sports Wisconsin joining us here. We talked a lot of Bucks in the last segment. So we had Adam McAlvey on a little bit earlier. And it is a drastically different-looking Brewers team now than it was just a couple of weeks ago. So as you watch these deals and these non-tendered offers and such begin to unfold or not, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't think that they were going to, you know, clean house as much as they have. However, I do know that I would be very surprised if some of these guys that they have let go, I think for money purposes right now, and to avoid, you know, arbitration and that type of thing, I think that there's potential to re-sign some of these guys down the road. But the big name guys are gone. I mean, Grandal's gone, Moustakas is gone. We all understand that right now, and I think, you know, more so than some of the players that they have let go since then is who are they really going to get to fill some key positions right now, and it, to me, first and third, and the other half of catcher, if not a number one catcher, right, at this point. I mean, that's going to be require a lot of work here. But I will say this, Bill. I learned after the first year of David Stearns, since he took over as general manager, I can't predict what he is going to do because that's impossible. He comes up with some of the biggest surprise trades and signings and whether they're big or small that I've seen in a long, long time. So I promise you this, whatever he's doing, they're doing by design, and they still have a lot of work to go, but I think that they completely understand that and are ready to get going.
I there was a lot of people last night after that tender offer deadline passed, and we knew who was not going to be with the team. We knew Moustakas signed and moved on. You have the hole at catcher. You have the hole at first base. And over at third base, you need pitching. And I watched Twitter and emails and Facebook and everything blow up.
Yeah.
And there's the, what the hell are you doing? They're sitting on the money.
It's kind of,
you know,
blown up like it hasn't in recent years,
right?
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand it, because if this is the way it is, you're correct in blowing up. But that's when I thought, when people started coming at me, and I'm sure they come at you too, whether it's on Twitter or wherever, and I said, what do you think? And my response was, I'm going to wait and see. There's no way you're going to waste a year of Christian Yelich in a rebuild, in a kind of retool.
I agree.
This is the last time you have this outfield together. Ryan Braun's coming up at the end of his deal. You're going to get you're hoping for a bounce back year of Lorenzo Cain. So if you get all those pieces back and healthy, and you've got Keston Hira, who's now legit, and we know you're going to get some power numbers out of him, you're not going to blow it up and say, well, let's reset things and sit on money. You're not going to do that. And you're not going to tell your fans, oh, by the way, wait another year, and then we're going to go ahead and stockpile $70 million, and we'll see you again in 2021. That won't fly. So that's why it's kind of like, just be realistic here. Just relax. Let's see what happens. And come February, and maybe even beyond, because we've seen deals as late into February, maybe then we'll sit there and say, okay, now we get what the methodology was. But I'm not really reacting to this. Right, I'll miss those guys. I love Moose in the clubhouse, and we all love those guys. And having Eric Thames around as a big smiling face and the hulking maniac, it was great. But I'm not panicking as far as baseball on the field goes just yet.
No, I'm not either. And you know, there are a few holes. Obviously, we understand that. But there's a reconstruction process, I think, with this team every year. I don't think a lot of us saw Grandal come into the Brewers a year ago,
right,
for the 2019 season. I'm not sure, you know, a lot of people were guaranteed that Moose was going to come back last year either. So those things fit in really nicely for the club. And then they made some moves, you know, during the season, you know, what Pomerantz was able to do.
Right.
Hey, kudos to him. If some team's going to give him 4 years and 30-some million dollars to do something he's already done for 2 months, great for him. But
right,
that's not the Brewers' M.O.
He was a much better reliever than he was a starter. If you look at his numbers and the way the Brewers utilized him and when they picked him up, it was perfect.
Right.
Because he could fill in if you needed to, but otherwise you just stockpiled the bullpen, and we all know what they've done with their bullpen. So I thought it was a brilliant move at the time. And, yeah, if he's going to go get that kind of money and be a bullpen guy, go for it.
All those guys got 4-year deals, you know, just under $100 million. I mean, that's not how the Brewers can play ball with everybody right now as far as constructing their team goes. So, you know, my thing is, people, be patient. It's going to happen. It's early December. In fact, I don't think Grandal and Moose were added to the roster until January, right, of last year. It was pretty much
but
later on
the roster movement last year was like a log jam. It just, nothing trickled out of the dam until January and February last year. And the big deals weren't signed with Bryce Harper and Machado until late. So this year, I think, is going to be different. There's already movement. There's already guys being signed. I think clubs are quicker. I think the money it's stabilized a little bit. It's not as crazy as it was. You know, obviously Cincinnati's formidable. We know the Cubs are still going to be good, but they've changed managers. We don't know how good they're going to be. You've got the incumbent in St. Louis. This division's going to be really tough. I don't know whether mediocre or tough is going to be the two words we're probably going to use the most, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be competitive. We know that. And certainly what the Cincinnati Reds have done by adding Moose and some other pieces as well, and they're probably not done. They're ready to be probably where the Brewers were a couple of years ago and make some big splash-type signings and whatnot. But, you know, the Brewers will be in a position where they will figure out a way to put the right guys in the right spot, and they're not gonna overpay people right now. And I will say this, too. I think it's – I don't know if I want to use the word refreshing or not, but at least there's no BS with players. At least they've always been very good about being up front with players and say, you know what, Eric Thames, you're due to make $8 million. I can't pay you $8 million to be on this team this year. So you set him free. If he can find another suitor, great. If they say to Junior Guerra, you've been great on this team for the last 5 or 6 years, but we can't pay you $4 or $5 or $6 million to do what you've been doing for us. If you can find someone else to do it, great. If not, those are guys they can keep going back to and say, you know, maybe we can still work out something to be here. Mm-hmm. But they have to do the budget first. And I know fans don't want to hear that. I know fans think that they think they're so close to making that next push, and they've decided to go this route to try to make that next push.
I agree with you about you can't just blow up the budget, because everybody starts with a budget. I mean, even the Yankees start with a budget and say, let's work within the confines of this. I think two things that one, the word competitiveness drives me crazy because I don't want to be competitive. You know, the Pirates are trying to be competitive. What you're trying to do is be a contender and win a championship.
You want to win, right.
And that's where this team should be. So to me, it's all about moving forward and getting better, not regressing. And then the second thing is, and we've been told at this program by David Stearns, by Craig Counsell, by Rick Schlesinger, that money would not be the object if they felt they were close. And so I guess what I'm hoping for as a fan now is that money gets invested and we see something that's going to excite us, sprinkle in the rest, what's going to be formidable, and you're hoping to catch some lightning in a bottle like they've done, say, with a Yuli Chacin or something like that. And then tell us that if this or that piece is where we're at and we need it, we're going to get it. Don't worry about it. We're going to get it. What I see is a team that has come close and been in the bidding, and you know, but some of the deals that they've made are the ones they didn't make. Thank God they didn't get Yu Darvish for that amount of money.
Correct, yeah.
You know, thank
Good
God
point.
That they didn't pick up some of these guys, what they were in the bidding for, and we were all going, oh, my God, well, they're not coming here, so the Brewers aren't serious. Well, thank God they didn't get them because they haven't been, you know, leaders in their clubhouses either. Now Darvish pitched better this past year, but nevertheless. So I just want to see, that, I guess, as a fan, that the team is serious about going for it, especially while you have such a small window with Christian Yelich still.
Yeah, I mean, you're
but that guy has another MVP season. Holy mackerel.
Well, and he probably had one this season.
He will be your $350 million man, $400 million
right,
man.
Exactly, exactly.
Because remember when they were talking about Bryce Harper being your first half-a-billion-dollar guy?
Mm-hmm.
He could be that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's got better numbers than Trout and Bryce Harper.
He's ripe at the age. And man, I tell you what, if he doesn't foul that ball off his kneecap, he wins the second consecutive MVP. I don't think there's any question. And
who knows what they do in the postseason?
Huh?
Who knows what they do in the postseason?
Exactly. Well, I mean, look what they did with.
They were 10 minutes away from beating Washington.
So think about this. You don't have your MVP for the final month of the season going into that wild card game. And look how. Where do you put credit to who did what to make up for the loss of Christian Yelich during that time? You got to start with your general manager, and you got to start with your manager and what they did with what they had. But they had talented guys who were all in and understood their roles. And these are the type of guys that they still need to go after. They're still eyeing. I mean, there's a certain blueprint for who they want in this organization. I mean, make no mistake about it. They're just not out to pluck this guy and that guy because everybody thinks he's good and he puts up decent numbers. They're diving much deeper into that. And those are the kind of guys that are going to make up for the loss of a Christian Yelich like we saw last year during that playoff run.
Well, enjoy the rest of the Bucs season, then we'll breathe a little, and then we'll see you back at spring training.
Sounds great. Thanks for having
Craig Kishon, the man that never sleeps. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rossin Avenue in Oak Creek. We're going to talk to Tom Pippins coming up next. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.